to the adventure on Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man, W4CY Radio, and I'm here with one of my favorite guests who has been on our network for a long, long time and is not only an amazing person, just an amazing person, but somebody amazing that you need to work with that could change your life. And so with no further ado, let's get unstuck with Cindy Hearn.
Thank you kindly. And I think that's what life is about, isn't it? It's kind of natural that we go in and out of stuckness. But the secret is recognizing when you're stuck in your life. And then with that recognition, it's easier to get motivated and to get going.
Well, you know, and not only that, sometimes there's environmental factors that cause that stuckness. Like, for example, we were talking about before coming on, that, you know, I'm going to be traveling in June for the first time since March of 2020 for somebody that travels like all year round. And I think there's that degree of stuckness, too. It's like, you know, there's been other people I've seen travel during this time, but I was in that stuckness of, I'm not ready to get on a plane. Yeah, I'm not ready to do all that. And, it's now that I made the decision, I think I have like 10 flights booked on my Southwest app.
Fantastic. No holding you back now. And it's exactly what you said. It's about making that decision.
Oh, I'm always about that. You know, it's like... Yeah. My dad always had this advice. He's like, make a decision. If it's wrong, change it. And
that's right.
That's unbelievable advice, because how many of us are stuck in indecision and still don't get where we need to be? The only way you can get where you need to be is to keep making those decisions.
Well, the way that I see everything is energy. So as you are and I am, we're each balls of energy. And when we make a decision, that's actually telling our energy which direction to go. But if you hold back on that decision, it just kind of shudders. So you're not going forward, and you're just going back and forth yourself. And that's how you get stuck, because you're not directing where you want to go.
No doubt. And indecisiveness is paralyzing.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we can be over analytical. But I think if we go below all that, it's really fear. On some level, there's a fear that you need to address.
Yep, absolutely. No doubt about it. You know, fear is interesting, because even when it's warranted, it doesn't necessarily serve you.
Well, I have a theory about fear, and it says that each one of us lives in our own particular field. And so if you imagine a field, and surrounding this field is a border or a hedgerow or barbed wire, but there's a border going around the field. Now, that field is our comfort zone. So wherever we are in our field, we're quite comfortable. Even if we're not comfortable, we're comfortable in our discomfort. But surrounding you is a border, hedgerow, stone wall, whatever. And that border actually is your fear. And the positive of fear, because everything has a positive and negative, but the positive of fear is that fear keeps us safe. So as a child, if you were going to cross the road, your mother might have pulled your arm back and made you fearful of ongoing traffic, and rightly so. So we all live in a state that we're comfortable in, but we have this fear that surrounds us to keep us safe, to keep us where we know we are. Now, every time you're going to do something that's outside your comfort zone, which is something you've never done before, you start to head over to that idea. And as you head over to it, you're getting closer and closer and closer to your fear. And when you get to that border and you feel your fear, number one, all your fear is telling you is that you're on the edge of what you know. But for a lot of us, because we don't want to feel fear, we can pull back and we go back into our comfort zone. Now, the thing about being human and being nature and being energy is that energy must change. We have to grow. So it's really a good thought that if you're making something new or different in your life, recognize when you hit that border, you're going to feel a bit of fear, but then redefine it as a learning curve, because that's all it is. You're learning something new. And the point is, if we keep pulling away and we keep supporting our fears, we're hanging out more and more in our comfort zone. Think about what actually happens to a field where the farmer doesn't rotate their crops or change the cattle, whatever, the livestock. That field will begin to die. And it's the same with us. If we don't grow, if we don't push ourselves through those barriers, we stay incredibly small in ourselves. And that's when your vitality and everything just starts to dwindle. So fear, the positive of fear, it keeps you safe. It also tells you when you're about to make a change. Fine, make the change. Because the wonderful thing is, as soon as you go and you go towards that new thing and you get it, that comfort zone, that field expands, including it in it. So the more we change, the bigger zone that we live in ourselves. So fear can be a good thing, but don't let it hold you back.
Absolutely. And there's another thing too I'm going to add to that, that it can be used as a tool when you and used properly. For instance, tell you a little story about Mike Tyson. Most anybody listening knows who Mike Tyson is. He's one of the most famous boxers ever. Used to be the baddest man on the planet, so to speak, and, you know, has gone through his turbulations people are talking about. But here's one thing, okay? So a lot of people don't realize, in order to be the baddest man on the planet, it was fueled by fear, actually. And when he was in the Junior Olympics, he was only like a preteen, like, I don't know, 13, 14, 12, something like that. He called his trainer Customato because he was about to get into a fight, and he was just so scared. And Customato, his trainer and manager, taught him to use the fear in the ring. You know, so instead of letting the fear paralyze him, use it to win the fight. To this day, that Junior Olympics fight set a record, because Mike Tyson went in there and knocked this dude out in 9 seconds. It is a record to this day. And it was, and if you listen to Mike Tyson getting interviewed, he talks about every fight that he went into, he had that serious fear. And, you know, it just proves about mindset, because, you know, he would go into these fights with this fear, and the fear would fuel him to knock them out in the first round. And I think he was kind of scared to get past the first round, like if they made it past his barrage, then he might lose. On the other hand, the negative part of fear is every opponent that went in the ring against him had fear going into the ring, that virtually, I'm not even sure if Mike Tyson knocked them out or they got knocked out, in a big fundamental difference. And it was probably a combination of both. But there is the perfect example. Fear can fuel you or it can paralyze you.
Yeah. But it's an energy, isn't it? So it's like, do you make it work for you, or do you let it imprison you?
Exactly. So tell us a little bit, Cindy, about what you do for people to help people with things like fear or anything else for that matter.
Well, I work as a transformational coach and have done for forever. It just means I'm old. And basically, so people come to me when they're stuck in their life. And when you're stuck in your life, you're uncomfortable. So it can be that you're stuck in, you don't know what you're doing, or you're tired of the same patterns in your life, or you're in a state of anxiety or depression, or you just want to grab hold of who you are and develop your awareness. So people reach out to me when they want to change their energy pattern and they want to open up to more of who they are. So when I work with someone, I'm actually looking what I call below the surface. I'm looking at that pattern of who they are. I'm looking at the energy pattern. So my work is very much about common sense. It is about helping people to see themselves in a way perhaps they haven't viewed themselves before. But in that process, they are then able to shift. So it's very much about personal awareness. It comes from a spiritual perspective, but as well, a very solid practical. My work is incredibly practical. And I think, you know, I would say to you that the way to becoming more of who you are is like you've got to first enter your mind and get control over that. If you have control over your mind, you naturally have a better standing in yourself, because the mind is that powerful. So I use, you know, it's not just counseling or NLP, but it's also, I bring in the hypnotherapy because it's a very good way of whatever we talk about, I'm then able to anchor that on a deeper level. And people change and people grow and people relax. I think I was born on earth just to help people relax and feel have a better relationship with themselves.
Well, I love that part of it. Key word, relax. You
know,
I'm saying that about the whole world right now. It's every day, it's just, just relax, people.
Drop down, really. But I think that's true. I think that when we're relaxed, the way that it works, when we're relaxed, we're present in life. And the more time we spend hanging out in our heads, is the energy is way too fast up there. It's because you can go to the past, you can go to the future. You know, you can worry about the future, can bemoan the past. But in reality, when you're in the present, there's just a very comfortable rhythm in life. And it just helps you to see what is, rather than to imagine what you think something is or what you want something to be. And that makes a world of difference.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And it's funny because people nowadays get so worked up about things that really don't even affect their life. It just kind of amazes me. First of all, here's a perfect example. As stupid as I think it is when people do this, but people riding down the road during the last year by themselves in the car wearing a mask. Okay. I think it's ridiculous, but I think it's even more ridiculous how many people spend so much energy being upset about this. Like, it doesn't affect your life in any way possible. So what? You saw somebody riding down the road. Why does it have to be a social media post? Why does it have to be a conversation? Yeah. Why does it have to be a conflict, a conspiracy, and everything else that they go in? It's so much wasted energy on what? If it was about you or affected you, that's one thing, but it doesn't, it's not about you and it doesn't affect you. So who cares? Say it. You can say it, but the focus and the energy that's put into it is just unbelievable. Listen, I've posted before that I think it's kind of ridiculous, but it was like a 3-second thing and that was it. It wasn't a whole day discussion on social media about this stuff.
Well, it just shows you where you're hanging out in your head, doesn't it?
No doubt.
You're in a state of judgment.
Absolutely. I'm glad you used that word because it's true of everything. Like, even here's my philosophy of all the stuff that's going on nowadays with, you know, equal rights and with, you know, non-binary, gays, transgenders, Black Lives Matters. I mean, you can list off, there's so many of them, you could spend all day listing them off. The key is, though, my viewpoint is, just do you. Just be you. There doesn't have to be a label. There doesn't have to be an agenda. Yeah. Just be you. Who cares? You don't need to make this, you know, like people make these formal announcements. Like, I don't make formal announcements about everything I do in my life. It's my business. What I do is what I do. I don't have to make a formal announcement. Just like the same thing, even with relationship statuses. Like, there's this idea out there that your relationship's not real until it's Facebook official. And it's the stupidest thing ever. Like, who cares if it's Facebook official? It's your relationship. That's all that matters.
I have to admit that the last month, maybe a bit longer, I've just really dropped out of social media.
Oh, it's healthy.
I know. Well, it is. So it's. I mean, I was never really into it anyway because I just, it's what I call surface to surface communication, and I'm a naturally a deeper thinker. So it's was quite difficult for me, but I just feel like, you know, there's only so much time you have, really. And so you can, if you, it's like anything, if you use it in a way that is constructive, great. But if you're using it in a way that's excusing your life away, at one point in your life, you're going to look back and wonder what happened. Because, you know, those kind of things on social media at the end, it's not really going to add up to a life worth live, a life worth lived, is that it? Lived, or what? You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, each to their own. And I just, you know, I kind of live by moderation and gratitude.
No doubt. Moderation, key word. I am so about that. And I will say something else, too. It's like, you know, I mean, I've always believed that negativity is like a cancer and you got to cut it out. And I think social media is like a fuel for negativity. And I say that because, you know, it's funny. They'll blame it on certain platforms. Like a lot of people, when TikTok first started, everybody was going to TikTok because it's like, oh, this is great. This is nothing like Facebook. Leave all you negative people over at Facebook. Like all the net. That's what people are saying. Leave the negativity over there. We're just here to have fun. Now, months later, you see people commenting on TikTok about why there has to be so much haters and negativity and all that. And it just proves it doesn't matter which social media platform it is. People use it as a vehicle for hate and negativity.
Well, unfortunately. I think it's, well, the sad thing of it is you can do all that without taking responsibility. And so therefore you can let your darkness out.
Oh, no doubt.
And you know, when we're judging somebody else, inevitably, there's a feeling inside of being right. So a judgment actually gives you a feeling of empowerment. And if you don't have that natural sense of empowerment in you, then just by putting out those judgments, you feel like you're, you know, you're on fire because you're right. Yeah. And that makes everybody else wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. People join. Join you in your crusade of negativity. But, you know, it's also, too, it's people can hide behind it because, you know, sometimes people aren't even who they are on social media anyway. And the other thing is I've noticed, too, which is goes against my grain as somebody that's from the Northeast and we believe in being direct.
Yes.
And, it's like these people that say stuff on there are people that would never say this stuff in person.
Yeah.
You know, they hide behind this platform to say whatever they want to say, but they don't even have the courage to say it directly in person to anybody ever, you know. And I kind of look at it like this, okay? And there's some people that may not like this, but one of the reasons, you know, a lot of people say people from New York are rude. I have a different spin on it. They're not rude. You just know where you stand. To me, the ultimate in rude is making somebody feel like you like them, like you're their friend, and telling them everything they want to hear and then talking behind their back. Yet those people that do that are the ones calling New Yorkers rude. And when you talk to them, because I have a couple friends that were they're like this, and I'll give a quick story, but we were at a restaurant one time several years ago, and she was a Southerner, and we're at the table, and she was talking all this crap about this other girl, and like nasty, like can't stand the person. The person ends up walking up. She jumps up and gives her a big hug and smile hello like it's her long-lost best friend. And then when the girl walks away and she sits back down, I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
She's like, I was being nice. I'm like, that's not being nice. It's being fake. In fact, it's not nice at all because you're making her think that you love her to death when you're just talking crap behind her back. Being nice and cordial would be, hi, how are you? It's not a matter of she shouldn't have said hi and that she should have been rude. It's like, don't make like this is your long lost best friend. And she told me, and we talked about like the differences about the way I grew up and the way she grew up. And this, she was taught this, that that's manners, and, you know, and it's that Southern hospitality. But if you have Southern hospitality and it's fake, it's not really hospitality then. And that's where, you know, got to learn something about the definition of hospitality. And at the end of the day, I view these people on social media that are saying all this stuff the same as that. It's the, when I'm face to face with you, honey's going to drip from my lips. But when you're behind my back or I can hide from you, then I'm going to talk crap about you.
Well, I think it boils down to just being real and being, you know, and
exactly. We
can be direct and be real, but we can also be direct and be real and be considerate and kind with it. Or we can be direct and just be cutting, or we can be indirect and hope they get the idea. But it's really about respecting people, isn't it? It's about respect.
It's about respect. It's about being honorable. It's about being real, like you said. Real is the biggest key word to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because, like I said, at least you know where you stand, okay?
Yeah.
So there's nothing worse than being, you know, thinking you're best friends with somebody that really doesn't feel that way about you. It's kind of like in relationships, too. I've talked to several women about the idea of there's a lot of times in relationships that women are unhappy for a long time, but they never say anything because they don't, because they don't want to hurt the person's feelings. That's what they say. Okay, so, but the thing is you are going to eventually hurt their feelings, and it's only going to be worse when they find out the truth. So why not be truthful up front? I don't consider that hurting somebody's feelings. I consider it hurting somebody's feelings to string them along for the inevitable outcome that is going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Boston, so we can be very, I don't know. I mean, we might be on par with the New Yorkers.
I think you are. That's why we have such a great rivalry.
But, you know, I would. And sometimes you have to deliver home truths to people. And those home truths can really kind of change somebody's life.
Yeah.
You know, particularly, I'm thinking about situations where, you know, you have a really good friend and they keep going through the same relationship issue and they keep getting wounded and then they go back to the guy and then they break, you know, he breaks up and then they come to you and they're talking about it. And I had a friend like that once, and time again, I supported her through her breakups from the same guy. But then one day she came with the same thing, and I just very calmly and very solidly said, I'm just really tired of seeing you hit your head against the wall. And although that was a very direct, you know, look at what you're doing, you're hurting yourself kind of comment, and it went in quite deep, it actually opened her eyes to what she was doing. Because otherwise you're given a person sympathy, and therefore they don't have to add their, you know, they don't have to take on board their behavior.
Yeah.
But if you see somebody hurting themselves, are you going to just support them so they can keep hurting themselves? Or are you going to deliver what can be a serious home truth?
A true friend doesn't need somebody that tells them what they want to hear. It's somebody,
yeah.
They need somebody that tells them what they need to hear. And
yeah.
To me, being a true friend is calling me out on my crap, you know,
yeah.
or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And because you are doing harm to them. But by supporting the behavior that doesn't suit them, you're not helping them, you're hurting them. However, you know, by telling them straight out, I could, like you said, change their life and help them and maybe, you know, allow them to say, whoa. You know, because people walk around and all these people are telling them how great they are and this and that, and then you start buying into it until that one person points something out. And if you're any kind of person that wants to grow, you may
yes.
not react
yes.
right then and there, okay? Because you might get
yes.
defensive right then and there. But after a fact, it's happened to me many times. After a fact,
yeah.
you think about it by yourself and you're like, you know what? Oh, my God, maybe they're right. Because you didn't see it from an outside point of view. And then you have all these people cheering you on. So you're thinking it's good. It's like, here's a perfect thing, and it's a total psychology, and actually there's somebody, one of my friends that was in marriage counseling, the therapist actually said this, which is something I've always said. So if you're in a romantic relationship, if you tell somebody something they're doing is great and you love it, what are they going to do? They're going to keep doing it because they think it makes you happy. It's like, even dare I go here, but the whole concept of fake orgasms is dumb, because
yeah.
guys generally, it's human nature that guys want to please their woman. So listen, the guy doesn't know. So if you're making the guy think that whatever he's doing is like spot on great, giving you the best O you ever had in your life, of course the guy's going to keep doing it and you'll never have an O. You know, but maybe if you just right from the get-go told a guy, and this is also a difference of maturity too, listen, that doesn't really do it for me, do that, you know, and kind of instruct him, for lack of a better way of putting it. Listen, a mature guy will be like, oh, thank God she told me, you know.
Yes, yeah.
a younger guy might get ego struck,
yeah.
but, you know, not somebody that's older, because listen, you know, why wouldn't you want to know the right way? And it was, the therapist put it perfectly, guys grow up playing sports and they have to learn rule books, and that's how they compete, by following the rule book. So it's kind of like you're telling them they just hit a home run when they actually struck out, and not giving them the rule book of how to get better.
Yeah, or giving them the wrong rule book.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true too.
Yeah.
So
I think it also involves a bit of courage, doesn't it, for any one of us, because it's about stepping, because so many of us are overly concerned about the judgment of another person, you know, what they think of you, and that's why we can kind of curtail our tongue and just, you know, say what we think somebody wants to hear, because we all want to be liked and loved. So it does take a bit of courage, recognizing that by being respectful and honest, and open, you are just enhancing any relationship that you're going to have. But you have to, you've got to push that forward to start with.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. So, Cindy, let's tell everybody how they can connect with you, how they can hire you, how they can get your book. You have this amazing book. And you have several books, but the most recent one, the Sticky Book of Stuckness.
You love saying that, don't you?
I do. It's amazing. Like, I just love the name, and it's so, you know, perfect. And then, of course, we have the Cindy Hearn Show here on W4CY Radio and also on all our partner podcast networks. So you can catch Cindy Hearn every Monday, the Cindy Hearn Show every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And why don't you take it away with the rest and tell them how they can connect with you, hire you, get your books, all that good stuff.
Okay. So if you want to work with me, or if you're curious about more of what I do and how I do it, please visit my website, which is cindyhearn.com. And when you visit that, it's very easy to connect with me, and either through an email, telephone call, or, you know, you can connect with me on the social media. But basically, I work with individuals and on Zoom. So it doesn't matter what part of the world you're in. And if you're sitting there now feeling a bit discouraged, or you'd like some insight or to know how to go forward, then I work on quite a deep intuitive level so that I do help people kind of shift quite quickly. And in that process, you learn so much. So it becomes, it's not a torturous process of counseling and having to go over and over your pain. I work on the premise that you know your story, let's get your energy moving forward. So, you know, drop me an email and I will get back to you and we can set something up. My book, The Sticky Book of Stuckness, What's Holding You Back, again, really helps you to see your life. It provides an overview of how, when you get stuck in your life, how to get unstuck. And as all my work is, it's based on, let's change the energy patterns. Because when our energy is moving easier, we feel better. And as well, my radio show, that's really about exploring the landscape of the mind. And why do we want to do that? And what does it hold when we can go deeper into ourselves? So very about, you know, I'm easy to get hold of. If you're sitting there, give me a call. It's that easy.
It's that easy.
I love it. It is.
I love it. Any final words you have for our listeners?
Yeah, just following on from that. In all my work, I always say to people, I don't think that change has to be difficult. And that's the premise I work on. It does not have to be difficult. You just got to find the right way to look at it and then go forward. And you know what? It's your life. It's your life. So why wouldn't you want to have more of yourself in your life and feel the essence of you in your most positive, productive way? It can only reflect a lighter, brighter you.
Well said, well said. As always, absolute pleasure, and you are one of those amazing people on this earth.
Oh, gosh. Please.
And see, I'm direct, so like I'm not blowing smoke.
You
if you're a jerk
Thank
off, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again, Cindy Hearn, and thanks for all you do for everybody in the world that you work with, and thank you for being on the Adventures of Pipe Man.
Thank you so much. You take good care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.